and welcome, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church, and I'm very glad you have joined us today for our Walking with Jesus podcast. I'm here with Dale Fincher. Why don't you go ahead and say hello, Dale?
Hello.
Oh, and Dale and I are going to be talking about lay leadership, the role of lay leadership and lay speakers in the church. And so we're just glad that you're here listening with us today, hoping that God is blessing your day. So I'd like to just begin with a word of prayer. And Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for the chance to lift up how you work in our lives. We're thankful, yes, Lord, that once again we can look at Scripture and be blessed with the wisdom and the guidance that you give us. Just be with those that hear today and us that speak. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Dale, I shared with you a Bible verse we could look at. It was talking in the first letter of Timothy, and Paul is writing to Timothy about those who are serving in the church as they call them deacons. And it says in 1 Timothy 3:13, says, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." And so that's a good word from the Lord, and I thought one of the interesting aspects of that verse is when I looked up the word deacon, it had a kind of a root in the Greek, which it basically means those who are serving in the dust.
Amen.
So that's an interesting job board to put up. We need people who want to serve in the dust. We need people who want to serve in a lowly capacity.
That's great. I have no problem with that. That's wonderful.
Well, and it's true. I used to, you know, the Bible term for servant was doulos, and a doulos was essentially somebody who rode in the galleys, you know, pulled the oars in the galleys, and you could usually set it up for people to say, well, nobody ever had a poster of a doulos in their room. Kid ever had a poster of a deacon in the room, so and up on the wall in their room. But so it's about service, maybe humble service, and so you're saying you're okay with that. How could you maybe want to explain what you're a lay speaker in the church? Would you like to explain what a lay speaker does?
Yes, I thank God that I've had that privilege that He called me to do that many years ago in my Christian walk of life. And as a lay speaker, the joy I get from that is God has allowed me to do it. At one time, the fear in my life of getting up in front of people was tremendous. And He called me to do that as a ministry in my life. He took that fear away. And from then on, I couldn't wait to get on the pulpit to share the Word of God with people. I just love the fact that I'm able, that God has allowed me and has given me the opportunity, and the Holy Spirit allows me to share God's Word with people. To me, that is one of the greatest privileges in this earth and in this world. I don't know. It's just so fascinating to me that I've been able to do that. I feel very blessed. I enjoy it. And my message is, when I prepare for a message, what I find out is how much more at that time I'm preparing a message that I lean on God's Word and His Holy Spirit to lead me to select the right message that He would have me speak or preach. And I lean totally on God for all of that. I know, and I'm being perfectly honest, I could not do it on my own. I could not. The Holy Spirit leading me and God's power in my life, it would be impossible. So, but I love doing it. And I think the lay speaker's part in the church is very important. And I've always appreciated the pastor asking me to fill a pulpit at any time, because it's a great privilege. It's probably one of the things I look forward to in my life, as much as anything else. I look forward to that all the time. And a lay speaker to me is a very important calling. And I just feel privileged to have been called by God to do that.
So. Okay. And you know, I wonder, some people are not as familiar with how church things are done, and particularly our church as a Methodist church has been organized one way for a long time. So I can imagine people saying, so that means you're a preacher. And the answer actually is, well, not as a full-time calling. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I've actually been in church as well. I've been blessed, if you call it blessed, I've been blessed to do about, 26 different funerals for people. And when I go into a church where we're having another funeral besides our own church, they'll refer to me as a pastor, and I'll say, no, you can't do that. I speak the word of God or preach the word of God, but I'm not a pastor because I haven't been ordained as a pastor. And I said, there's a difference. I'm just kind of a fill-in or a person that can step in and preach the word of God because God has called me to do that. And so you don't need to refer to me as a pastor at all. I'm just a lay servant, lay speaker. So I've had that thrown at me. Well, you're a preacher. No, I'm not.
Yeah. And because I know in 1 Timothy, as you went into chapter 4, Timothy is one who, that he's told to devote himself to public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to preaching, practice these things. Don't neglect the gift that was given when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Even at that early stage in the church, there was the idea of full-time ministry that somebody was called to. But obviously people who also shared the word of God and also shared what they call preaching or prophecy, without having that set apart existence that Timothy did. The Methodist Church has had a long history of doing this. I know that John Wesley was heavily criticized because he went through the British Isles and every place that the Anglican or Roman Catholic Church was meeting, and his preachers, some of them lay people, just gave messages, invited people to a living faith, organized them in the classes, and it was brought up, well, these are lay persons. They don't have the proper education or accreditation, and we need to have professionals do this. And of course, he said, I wish I had another 100 of these people who were not accredited and not trained and not...
Understand, yeah. But, I like I say, my thinking on that is, of course, I'm from the Pentecostal faith. That's where I was born and raised. And my feeling has always been, if God lays his hand upon you, whether he calls you into the ministry, he calls you to be a youth leader, which I was a youth leader for quite a period of time in the Church of God, but he calls you to do things in his ministry, he calls you, he'll equip you. My feeling is you don't need the extra education once God calls you and equips you to do what he's calling you to do, and he will do that. Mm-hmm. He will call you and equip you through the Holy Spirit to do what he wants you and needs you to do if you will follow his leading. I mean, there's you have to be willing to follow his leading, read his word, and pray and ask for his guidance. That all just like pastors do. Pastors have to pray about their messages, and we've been fortunate here to have pastors that preach the word of God in its entirety, and that I appreciate that so much, because I once left the church because the pastor didn't. He did not preach the way I thought he should, and so I left. That's how I became a Methodist, so that's right there. But I feel once God calls you, he equips you.
So, Dale, do you remember then the first time you were asked to actually deliver a sermon message then?
Yes, I do.
Tell us about that.
It was in the Church of God. I was a youth leader there, and we was having a big, central youth rally on a Monday night. And my pastor at that time came to me, and I'd never spoken before, in church in that manner as far as being on the pulpit. So he come to me and he told me, he says, now you're going to speak at the youth rally. And I told him in no uncertain terms, I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm going to get up there because I have a fear of speaking in public. He says, well, Dale, it's like this. I believe that God has called you to do this type of work as a lay speaker. He said, so you get something ready, you pray about it, and you're going to get up here because I'm going to announce it. You're going to deliver the message. So he said, you better be ready. Well, that kind of put me in a spot and caused me to do a whole lot of praying on my knees. God, to open that door, take that fear away, and give me a message. Because you got to remember, that would have been the first message that I'd ever spoken before a large crowd. And I was very fearful about it. And matter of fact, when I got up there, I got to be honest, my knees were almost knocking together. But you know what the amazing part is? Once I opened my mouth and started, it was gone. The fear was gone, and I've never had that fear since on getting on the pulpit. Never. God took it away. So that was my first experience. And it's only because of God's blessing on me and calling me that happened. And I know that.
Yeah, I often wish that more people would have a chance of going through an experience like yours, if only, while amongst the many other blessings, that to have that sense, a real sense of God carrying you through a task. You know, I've had Sunday mornings where there would be something of a headache or cough or cold or just, but once you began preaching, I didn't even remember I had that going on. And it was completely done. Sometimes you can feel the words coming for the message as you're speaking them. You know,
that's right.
I'm a big believer in preparing, but you can, there's a sense where here's the message, you know where it's going, but I just know the words are coming there into my head and a little before they need to come out of my mouth. And I guess it's something for people to know that actually goes on. God is faithful to give you help. And I know that Watchman Nee was a Chinese pastor organizing so much of the Christian movement in China before the communists came in. And there's believers in China and Chinese believers in heaven because of his ministry. He said, well, you know, we could have a meeting and give it to the guy who talks all the time, and that'll be nice. But if we could give it to the one who's never spoken before, just think how much he will pray.
Amen. Amen to that.
I mean, really, how hard will the guy pray that does it all the time?
Right, exactly. And that's true. Yeah, that's true. But to what you said about when you're speaking, how, and it's funny because I don't have the best memory in the world. For some reason, I don't like remember names. I have a really hard time. But I found out that when I prepare a message through prayer and waiting on the Holy Spirit, that when I get on the pulpit, I'm amazed at how many scriptures return to my memory so quick that when I'm speaking, I can just spell them out. And I know that's all because of the Holy Spirit and because of God. And I do not take any credit for that at all. It's all God's. It's all goes to God.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of goes back in the scriptures. It says, those who serve as deacons, they gain a good standing for themselves. And I think that a certain sense maybe we don't worry so much about that. You weren't looking to be well spoken of. But it does happen that the people respect your work, you know, your testimony, your faith, because they've heard it. But you gain a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus, and we've been talking about that you set about a task and very sensibly begin to rely on God for the completion of that task, and then discover that He's faithful to give you the help. And once you've done that a few times, you approach every task saying, well, I can rely on God here, and I will find out that He is faithful, and so this great confidence that we have, we're glad enough if people will come to the Lord and they'll say, okay, I give up and I want Jesus to save me, and who couldn't rejoice at that? But we want people to have a great confidence, also.
That's right. Amen. Amen. And I can relate to that. My faith is very deep, very strong. I uh, It just is, because I can remember when I got saved at the age of 18, and my mother was deathly sick. Deathly sick, and I went out to the barn that night and fell on my knees and got saved. And God came into my life and took my burden of sin away. But then immediately, my mom got so bad, she ended up into the hospital. This was like on Good Friday. Good Friday in 1965 when this happened, or 1964 is when it was, Good Friday of 1964. And she was in the hospital, sent to the hospital, and the following week then, and what's amazing about this, Pastor, is the night before my father got the call, the following morning, I was reading the Bible and praying and about my mother's life, because I knew it was close, I knew it wasn't good. And he led me to scripture in the Bible that assured me that she'd be okay. Well, next morning, my dad wakes me up at like 4:30 in the morning and says, "We need to go to the hospital, Dale. Your mom is not going to make it. She'll probably be maybe gone when we get there." And I remember immediately saying to my dad, "No, it's not going to happen. It isn't."
Huh.
You know.
So that is what happened then.
That my faith was so strong that I told him, I said, "No, she'll live." And she was probably at the age of about 50 then. She lived to 56. Everybody else around me, even my pastor at that time, was saying, "No, she's not going to make it." And I said, "What's the matter with you people? Where's your faith?"
Yeah.
And that made my faith very strong all my life. So that's why my faith is so strong. So I just wanted to share that.
I'm glad you shared that, because we get these times when God comes out, answers a prayer, says, "Right here, look, you asked for this. This is my power. This is how far my love can reach," and that becomes the challenge for the rest of your life. So, well, if God's that faithful, and God's that powerful, and He actually listens to prayers, well, what is my response?
Amen.
I have to deal with this God, you know, and I should. So, yeah, and see, that's a message of encouragement. That it's interesting. We've not only had, if you go back in our history, we've had lay speakers, we even had exhorters. If you can imagine a church service where the preacher preached, and then they say, "Well, we're going to let the exhorter exhort." And some of those exhorters would just be that. They'd say, "Well, I'm anxious to see you do something with your knees besides just kneel down to pull weeds. I want to see you down here at the altar. I want to see you praying." And this church needs to lift up his hands. And there was a role in that for us to, because we need to encourage one another and push one another along in our faithfulness and just present that, look, we understand the faithfulness of God. That he is all over every aspect of our lives. Now, there's the lay speaking. Now you've been a lay member and a leader in this church for so long. What other ways have you ended up being a help to the pastor, a help to the fellow leading the church?
Well, in the past, I've had pastors that have actually, hard to believe, come out to my house to talk to me about situations in the church and have me pray with them. And also, you know, what I call maybe advise them what I think they should do in certain situations. And I've helped in that way. And I've prayed with pastors. And of course, I always pray for our pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to do basically what the pastor asked me to do and needs to do. So I've always supported our pastors in prayer. I really have. And I've never, ever done anything to cause my pastor harm or degrade him or put him down. I just won't do that. I just won't, because I feel that God sent him here. And if God sent him here, now I have to say, we had one pastor that I felt wasn't called of God, so I did not agree with him at all.
And
but you know, if I can, it seems like you can immediately tell as a Christian, if God has called a man into the ministry, there's just a big difference in a man that hasn't been called. So I've always supported the pastors and with my finances, whatever. And I just feel that as a Christian and a lay leader, that's what you need to do.
And I know as a pastor, that was a surprise to me, is that I'd come to a church and find out, well, there are people who they ask themselves, what am I doing to support my pastor? And you actually can tell that they're doing that. And you can, it's, I'm not just being sentimental about it. You can feel the prayers.
Yeah.
You can feed off of the help that they're giving you, that there's a spirit about them. You are right in that there's not only the support, but no, never do anything negative toward them. And it is interesting that no, we don't suppose a pastor is above criticism, because I certainly know I'm not above criticism, as no one is. But there's a time and a place, and in leadership you go a long way before you come out with something negative. We're looking to see what God, who has taken somebody who is called, will unfold for us in that person's life. There's going to be unique gifts of the Spirit. There's going to be unique circumstances that God places them in, and ways that their strengths will harmonize and work together with the strengths of the church. And of course, you can, I'll just ask some pastors that have had difficulties, you know, and they'll say, you know, criticism is almost, you know, is poisonous in that sense. But that's looking at a negative situation, which I'll tell you, my experience with lay leadership has been overwhelmingly positive. You just don't stay in lay leadership unless you're interested in seeing the pastor succeed and the church.
Amen. That's amen. That's true. Very true. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to visualize just for a moment what somebody would be in leadership of the church who didn't want those two things.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt in my mind, I feel if there's somebody in a leadership position like that, that sooner or later, God will make certain that person is weeded out. I mean, because I don't feel you can be in God's church and cause problems like that, and God will allow you to stay in that position. Sooner or later, God will make a way to get you moved out of there. And I just, and that's the way I feel. And a lot of times when a new pastor comes in, people will say, well, you know, he doesn't do this like the other pastor. And immediately I'll say, look, this is a man called of God. He has different ways and different ideas of doing things. Make certain you pray about what you're thinking about. Give him that chance to prove himself in that way. And I'll, you know, I just, and I got to admit, the first time I heard you preach, I could honestly feel that God had called you, and I could feel the Holy Spirit. So that covers it all. Once I feel that, once I have that feeling about my pastor, my new pastor, that's all I need. I don't need nothing else. I'm satisfied.
Well, I thank you for that encouragement. And see, this, you know, in the word here, you know, you can see where Paul gives, you know, Timothy instruction. You know, you're looking for those who are the overseer, the shepherd of the church, and then the deacons, those serving in the dust. But the essence is that he counseled Timothy, or just commanded Timothy to, you know, surround yourself with faithful, trustworthy people.
That's right.
And these same people willing to help. And yet for me, this has always been probably one of the predictors of how the church will be able to impact the community, how it will be able to lead people on closer to Christ, to minister to its own. We don't lack ideas and opportunity. Very often we lack workers. And so now for me, I've looked around, there's you, and there's so many other people in this church who have that role, that they're loyal, trustworthy, faithful, and willing to help, willing and able to help. And this course is God's wisdom for a church. You could call the offices or the names or the roles people have anything, but it's that circle of people who are saying this is important, and God's directing us to do this. So,
amen.
So we're getting close to where we probably should close. Is there any other adventure in lay speaking or leadership you'd want to share? Anything that people would, you've already edified us with a good testimony of?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, and it's funny, I was talking to my wife about this on the way home yesterday. Whenever I was selected to be the lay delegate for the conference, that was that probably opened my eyes quicker than anything. The very minute that I went into my first conference up there and sat down and it started, my eyes were open about so many things in the movement that I didn't know about. And honest to God, I begin to see, because of how I feel what a pastor's role is and the type of person I visualize my pastor or any pastor being, it helped me to see how there are some pastors and that are playing the game. And there's those who are called of God. And I'm sorry, but I saw that up there, and it almost blew my mind, because I was sitting right by a lady who I knew very well, and I could see immediately that it wasn't what I expected out of that person. So my expectations for a pastor, they're high. I have expectations that are high for a pastor that I expect that person should be and who God has called. And so I, just once again, not to brag on you or make you feel very important, but I find that in you, and I deeply appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah. And I know the experience at annual conference, you actually have kind of hit that we're well aware that you've got some pastors that, you know, they're playing the game or they're almost mailing it in, you know.
Yeah.
There isn't any deep and passionate engagement with the scriptures or with the work of the church. It's not the place for me to even explain why that is or something, but except that you have that knowledge that there's some bad eggs in every batch.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And it's more difficult than you suppose to weed them out. And we're working at that with time and patience, but and also some uprightness. There are just things we don't compromise on and never will.
And so,
of course, you know, that's why I treasure supportive lay speakers, lay people, because I'm aware that when you get to looking at a Methodist pastor, I introduce myself, I'm Pastor Harley Wheeler, Methodist Church. Well, we're still not done introducing, because people need to know what sort of Methodist pastor they have.
That's right.
And then we work on defining that. Say, well, I'm a supporter and one of the you know, early members of the Wesleyan Covenant Association, and we are looking at a renewal in the Methodist movement and an upholding of scriptural principles and the traditional morality of the church, and feel that's life-giving and powerful, and that will bring us into better line with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it would be easier if people anymore just looked at a preacher and said, well, that's a good man, he's a preacher. But
yeah,
we're not there yet.
Understandable. That's because we're all human.
Yeah. Sure. And for me also, it's interesting, just maybe my last observation is that, well, people will see a pastor from a church, and sometimes they'll immediately view him negatively and sometimes very positively. But for some people, it's just not impressive if the pastor comes around to the hospital or gives a message, because they assume that that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see lay people doing that before
right.
they really believe it. They're not impressed with somebody who's making a career out of it. But when it's somebody that has similar burdens in life and similar responsibilities, like yourself, will share a message or do a hospital call, you know, lead that funeral, take part in the work, then they feel they've met something genuine. So it's a huge, huge opportunity just for you and the people like you to make the Christian faith real for some folks.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, as I warned you before, I think we're about at the length of time that we can expect a reasonable person to be amused and uplifted by our conversation.
All right.
And so I'm going to ask Dale for you to close, and then I'll just give the kind of the signing off words if you'd like to close us in prayer.
Okay, thank you. Yes, indeed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here to share with my pastor about my lay leader thoughts and speaker thoughts, Lord God, that you have called me to do. I'm so thankful, so grateful that you did that. I can't praise you enough for calling me a lowly sinner like I was and calling me to do this work for you. So I praise you, Father, for that. And I thank you so much for our pastor who's taking time to share with me and allow me to share with my life as a lay person and a lay speaker. What a privilege it's been. And I thank you so much for it. And once again, I thank you for our pastor, Pastor Harley Wheeler, true man of God that I respect. And Lord God, that I know you will use in this church tremendously. And Father, we ask that you be with us now throughout this day, this coming week. And Lord God, just bless through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I thank you for being with us. Well, thank you, Dale. And I thank our listeners for being along with us with this Walking with Jesus podcast. Check out the other podcasts, please, on the church website and hear how God is working in people's lives here in this church community. This has been Pastor Arlie Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church. And goodbye, and God bless.